the Superhero Marathon Spectacular.
Hello, and welcome to day number 9, I believe, of the Superhero Marathon here on the Journey Into podcast, where I'm presenting a daily episode in the month of February. And we're starting out here with the Fantastic Four radio show, the first and I believe only 13 episodes of the show. Last time, the Fantastic Four faced off against Dr. Doom in the micro-world, but now they will face Dr. Doom yet again in this two-parter, I guess you could say, for the radio show. So let's not waste time. Let's go ahead and get into the episode. I'll pull up the old Wamperdime radio tuner here and invite you to come with me and let's journey into the clutches of Dr. Doom.
London, New Delhi, Moscow, Peking. The reports we have are all the same. Machines, apparently, operating by themselves or under the direction of some agency we don't understand, are going on a homicidal rampage.
It's time to end this.
No, Pip. It's clobbering time.
Attention, all true believers. Marvel Comics is on the air. Out of the pages of the world's greatest comic magazine come the adventures of the Fantastic Four. This week, we'll conclude our first two-week epic adventure featuring the diabolical Dr. Doom. Can America's most colorful super combo escape from the threat of the swirling cement, the panic of the deadly whirlwind, or the peril of the room without a floor? We'll begin to find out when we join Stan and the fabulous foursome climbing into the clutches of Dr. Doom in just half a moment.
Last week, aided by the amazing Ant-Man, the Fantastic Four invaded the micro-world of Dr. Doom and triumphed over their arch-foe. Now, back home again, they bid adieu to their ant-sized ally.
Goodbye, everybody! Goodbye!
I feel foolish, Raven, to anything that small.
You're okay in our book.
It'd be a waste of time to go searching for Doom. He's much too crafty and slick to have left any clues for us.
Well, we won't have to wait too long before he makes a move.
Right, Johnny.
Well, I'm going to wait by calling Alicia.
We might as well get back to our personal lives for now. Reed, I believe you have a speaking engagement at an astronomer's convention.
And I got a heavy date.
A few minutes later, the foursome are leaving their Baxter Building headquarters and heading out on their various appointments.
It's a good thing we didn't use our personal elevator. That's quite a crowd of fans down there.
Yeah, but we gotta get out of here somehow. I don't want to be late for that date.
If I go out in that mob, I'll get thrown in the slab before it's sighting a riot.
Hey, over here. I can take you down in the freight elevator over there.
Oh, we're in luck. One of the janitors.
You're the Fantastic Four, ain't you? I'd have spotted you anywhere.
And Ben thought he was hiding behind them shades.
First time I ever been so close to celebrities.
Wasn't my face you recognized, Matchstick. Must have been the fire in your eyes.
Oh, before you go, could I shake your hand?
Why, sure, old-timer.
It's my pleasure, sir, and thank you for helping us.
Oh, you've done so much for mankind.
Just don't squeeze too hard.
As they leave, none of the colorful quartet notice that the janitor has secretly affixed a tiny tissue-thin plastic disc to each of their hands.
It worked like a charm.
All my plans do. With those specially treated identical discs on their hands, my followers will be able to track the Fantastic Four wherever they go tonight. Now, I will return to my hidden laboratory and put phase 2 of my master plan into effect. Nothing shall stop me from defeating the Fantastic Four this time.
A short time later, in Dr. Doom's amazing secret laboratory...
Oh, my followers!
I release you to do the task for which I created you.
Each lighter-than-air robot is tuned to a different identity's emitting frequency.
Now, find your objectives.
Of course, each follower does find its objective. And now the Fantastic Four have separately returned to the Baxter Building in Manhattan after several hours of harassment from Dr. Doom's floating robots.
Now, calm down, everyone. I've got a little gadget here that'll tell us what we need to know about these objects. I've modified this electrodetector to zero in on whatever it is that's attracting them to us. There.
Reed, it's pointing to your wrist.
Big deal. What's that mean? He's got a nice watch.
Here, this tiny plastic disc. I'll bet you all have one.
Yeah.
Look at this. Mine's even got cracks on it, just like my skin.
Dr. Doom has to be behind all this.
Hey, look, the thing that's been following me is disappearing. When I took that disc off my wrist, the floating jobby just vanished.
They were inanimate, with no life of their own. The discs must have given them life when attached to our bodies.
Mine's gone, too.
Reed, if Dr. Doom is behind this, then he could be monitoring us right now with one of his machines.
All right, he is. And now that I have put them off guard with my follower robots, I shall work with a vengeance to accomplish my ultimate goal, the total destruction of the Fated Four. While spying on the disgusting thing, I saw the way to defeat the 44-some. I shall strike at them through their weakest link, the woman that Ben Grimm loves, the sightless Alicia. Ironic it is that even a gargoyle such as Thing can find love and mingle with normal people, while I dare not even expose my face to the view of others. I alone must hide like a ferret from the sight of my fellow man. I shall soon have my revenge upon the entire human race, starting with a Fantastic Four. Starting now.
Suddenly, without warning, with a flick of a switch on Dr. Doom's control panel, a strange grappler ray is beamed down to the street where gentle Alicia is walking, and then...
What's happening to me? I feel like I'm rising from the street. But how? It's impossible.
However, few things are impossible to one who is a master of science and evil. Seconds later, the astonished Alicia has been lifted up into what from Earth would appear to be a cloud floating over the city, but is in reality a floating laboratory for the diabolical Dr. Doom.
Just a little further, my dear, and my trap will be set.
And then, later that same day...
Ben, come here. Look at this newspaper story.
Huh?
It says here, girl walks on air, stuns crowd...
And that picture looks like...
It's Alicia. My Alicia. If anything happens to her, I'm going to kill her.
Oh, look out, Reed. He's going on a rampage.
It's got to be Doom. He's trying to get to me through Alicia. When I get my hands on
him... Easy there, big
fella. Let me go. I'm going to get that priest and finish him this time.
Ben's got every right to be mad.
I'll even help you, partner.
But suddenly... A grim vision appears on the great screen of the Fantastic Four's viewing room.
Fools! Your anger will avail you nothing. This time I hold all the cards. This time my victory shall be complete.
There he is!
Excuse me for transmitting my image to you in this manner, but I too am human and wish to gloat over your hapless plight. Now the game begins in earnest. I will tolerate no interference from you. If you attempt to stop me, I shall release my illusion ray and cause mass hallucinations all over the city of New York. And of course, don't forget my greatest threat. Alicia is now my prisoner. If you wish to ever see her again, do not oppose me. Thus, I do render the Fantastic Four helpless. Thus does Dr. Doom become the most powerful. Farewell to you, foolish four.
He's making away. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, what about Alicia, you crumb? Hey, come back here!
It's no use, Ben. He's gone.
Does he really think he can threaten us?
Does he think anything will stop us from tracking him down?
Ridding the world of that evil menace that is Dr. Doom?
Wait a second, Reed. I ain't letting you go after him while Alicia's his captive. You gotta stay away from him while she's in danger, do you hear me?
Don't you see, Ben? This is what he wants, to tie our hands and keep us...
Don't try to sweet-talk me, rubber man. I ain't letting you or anyone else cause harm to Alicia, no matter what. You understand?
I am victorious beyond my wildest dreams. They are again fighting amongst themselves just as I had planned, and let them for a while longer. They and the entire world will tremble before my next maneuver. It is not money I seek, nor personal gain. No, what I crave is power, and power is what I shall have. Now I shall send this tape-recorded message to Washington, D.C., outlining my demands. They are not outrageous.
And within hours, an urgent high-level meeting is taking place at the White House.
And so you see, Mr. President, Dr. Doom is holding the Fantastic Four at bay with the girl as hostage, and now demands that you appoint him to your cabinet. He says in his taped message to you that if you fail to agree, he'll declare war on the nation.
Thank you for your report, Mr. Holliman. But no matter what resources he may have or what means he may use, we will not allow this free nation to be a dictatorship. Certainly not under an evil, sinister devil such as Doom. There's only one thing to do. We shall show this egomaniac that the people of this country were born free and remain free. That'll be all.
But, sir, what are your orders?
Never mind that. What else have you got? The next day, having received no word from the White House on his demands, Dr. Doom begins his one-man war. And as we might suspect, knowing the doctor, the weapon he uses is his unique ability to control electrical energy.
What's happening to this computer? It's gone wild.
And within hours, every man, woman, and child in the country is affected.
So many power companies are unable to handle the crisis that much of the nation will be in darkness when night falls. The search is on for the cause of this mayhem, but as yet, no clue.
And at the headquarters of the Fantastic Four, a grim, brooding official visitor is speaking.
And so the Joint Chiefs of Staff feel that you, having dealt with Dr. Doom in the past, well, the country's on its knees, Dr. Richards, and the Joint Chiefs feel that you and your team...
We understand, General, and we're prepared at this time to discuss...
All this talk, and Alicia is still under his thumb.
But not for long. Right, Reed?
How's that?
Well, sir, we have formulated a plan...
Well, out with it, man. What'll it take to get you started?
Sorry, sir. I think the fewer who know about it...
Oh, I understand. We've set up a special communication for just this eventuality. Should you need anything from the military, just call this number.
Thank you, sir. We'll be in touch.
And after the official visitor has departed...
Reed, I'm sorry I blew up at you like that yesterday. Tell me... Do you really have a plan to save Alicia and nail that creep?
Oh, Reed, if we only could.
Well, there is, and it mostly depends on you, Ben.
Me?
That's right, old friend. A couple of hours ago, with my electroscanner, I located Doom's hideout. This is an ultraviolet photo I took of a strange cloud that's been hanging over the city for the past few days.
It looks like a giant blimp inside.
That's where he's been monitoring us from.
But finding him was only part of the problem. This is an enlargement of that photo.
You take nice pictures, but you're wasting my time.
Ben, we can't rush into this. He's got a most elaborate defense system against us. Those disintegrator rays are armed and programmed just for us.
What do you mean?
Well, those floating things that followed us around the other night didn't just disappear. They returned to Doom's laboratory with specific biological information on each of us. See?
You mean he's got the disintegrator rays programmed to our individual body chemistry?
That's exactly right.
But you say you have a plan.
And so I do. There's only one of us with the ability to change his atomic structure. When you revert to being Ben Grimm, the atoms and molecules in your body are completely rearranged.
That's something Dr. Doom didn't provide for in his trap.
I'm preparing a solution in my lab right now that will change you back to Ben Grimm for a specific period of time. After you've taken the formula, you will again be Ben Grimm for exactly 8 minutes. Just long enough to slip past Doom's defense system. And you'll be our bashful blue-eyed thing again. Disarm his disintegrator ray guns.
Never mind all that talk, mister. Where's that serum?
Well, let's go to the lab and see if it's cured.
Right on cue as always, Reed.
Well, bottoms up, kiddies. Hey, I feel it's working.
It's working.
I knew it would, Ben Grimm. But for how long?
Minutes later, in a silent, transparent, magnetically powered one-man plastic bubble, Ben Grimm begins the most perilous journey of his life.
Those ribbons of tinfoil trailing this flying fishbowl ought to jam Doom's radar. Reed said they would. And there are the rotating disintegrators. This potion I took has got to last. Oh, no. My hands. The beginning. If I can only get past those detectors, I can't lose my love, Alicia, to that demon.
And there, inside that silent, lonely capsule, an exhibition of sheer raw courage and willpower takes place, such as few men have ever experienced. By the strength of his own unconquerable determination, Ben Grimm forces himself to remain in his normal form for the most crucial few seconds, the most important time of his life, until...
I made it. I passed the detectors. Okay, Doom. You've had all the innings till now, but we've reached a turning point now. It's our turn. You hear me, Dr. Gloom? The thing is coming to get you. First, I'll clobber the main circuit for the disintegrating rays so everyone can join the party. Okay, gang. It's time to play ball.
We hear you, man.
I hope Alicia's all right.
Go easy now. We've only penetrated his outer defenses. Doom is still deadly.
Never mind the speeches, pal. It's clobbering time.
This time, my victory shall be complete.
Disperse. Don't give him a chance to attack us together.
Flame on. I'll go off this way.
Alicia, where are you, honey? I'm coming to save you. Do you hear me, Alicia? The thing is on the scene.
One of us will find a way to trap him. And all of us together can put an end to this.
What kind of ship is this? It's got more corridors and chambers than a Coney Island funhouse. And this is the craziest room of all. It's got all these walls. Oh, no, the door.
Within seconds, the walls of the chamber begin to revolve around him, slowly at first, then quicker and faster, until it is like being in a tornado gone wild.
It's a trap. It's spinning the air around me. There is so much wind that... my flame's going out!
But, in a final, mighty surge of energy, the indomitable torch creates an explosion of enough force to shatter the hidden rotator, and the room returns to normal. Now weak and just barely conscious, the human torch lies motionless, waiting for his strength to return.
Oh, out of action.
And the leader of the colorful combo is in a different chamber.
That door. Doom must be watching from somewhere else in the ship. What's this? Oh, no. Cement. Wet cement is pouring out of those holes in the walls. It'll solidify and there'll be no way out. Not for any normal human. A man who could stretch his body into any form he chooses always has a chance. I have to move fast. The cement is quick drying. Now, out under the door. Made it.
And what does Dr. Doom have in store for the thing?
Alicia, honey, where are you? Alicia! The floor just opened up. Good thing there's this pole. But Doom must have greased it. It's so slippery. If I hit the ground from this high, they'll pick me up with a sponge. If I can just dig my hands into the metal, Alicia's depending on me. There now. If I can just dig my way back up. Just thinking about getting Doom gives me the strength to climb up. Just a chance to lay that crumb out. There, I made it. Now to find the others and take care of Dr. Doom.
But at that very instant, in Dr. Doom's hidden viewing chamber...
Ah, the flamboyant foursome have more life than a pack of cats. But even they will not be able to survive the dreaded fury of my earthly power sphere. And here they come now together again, I see, except for the girl. She's not important. Once I have disposed of these, I'll deal with her at my leisure. Ah, my greatest weapon is working perfectly. Attracted by their body heat, the spheres are completely encasing the trap trio. And now my power spheres are spiriting them off to another dimension from which they will never return. They are gone. I have won at last. Finally, Dr. Doom is victorious over the Fantastic Four.
face.
The thing? No, it's impossible. It can't be.
Oh, yes, it can. He's already turned the force field on. We can't reach him.
He can't stay in there forever. And when he comes out, I'm going to be here.
But tell me, how did you escape from my power spheres? I saw them take you away.
We never went anywhere with your crummy spheres. You wasted them on 3 flame images of us. Ever see me make a flame image? Here, I can make one of you. See? Pretty good, huh? Never had a lesson.
That's enough talking, Matchstick. I want to know where's Alicia, and I want to know now!
Never! She's my prisoner until I've disposed of you. I will not be defeated now or ever.
But Dr. Doom is unaware that even now, a slender woman's figure is slipping into an unguarded room at the other end of the ship.
At last, there she is.
I hear footsteps. Who could that be?
Alicia, dear, it's me, Sue Storm.
Don't say a word. Dr. Doom could return at any moment. And before he does, we've got some things to do. First, you go down here.
And so, a hurried exchange takes place, and seconds later...
Now to seize my hostage. They will not dare attack me so long as I hold her. What? She vanished. That could only be possible if...
That's right, Doom. You cannot defeat the Fantastic Four.
One hostage is as good as another. You will serve as my prisoner just as well as the blind girl.
You are making one mistake, old man. It is you who are my prisoner.
You dare to speak so to Dr. Doom? You shall regret that before you die, woman.
We'll see who is to regret what. Dr. Reed Richards taught me well in the art of Kung Fu. And I enjoy getting a chance to use it.
Indeed. Well, how did he teach you to handle an opponent who holds this ultra heat ray gun? I shall pull the trigger and sweep this entire chamber.
Sorry, Doom, but your chamber sweeping days are over.
Pardon me so soon, but I shall never suffer the humiliation of being captured by the likes of you. Farewell, Fantastic Four.
Come back here!
Stand back, Ben. Maybe I can still reach him. Nope. Too late.
I've been robbed! That rat cheated me out of my revenge!
Swiftly, silently, the form of Dr. Doom fades from view as the greatest menace of our age plummets down, 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 until it is lost from sight in the gathering twilight. And in Doom's flying laboratory...
Oh, Ben, darling, are you all right?
Sure, I'm okay. How about you, honey?
As long as you're safe, I'm happy, darling.
Johnny, where's Sue? We've got to find her.
I'm here, Reed, darling.
Sue, you all right? That means our triumph is complete. Darling, if anything ever happened to you...
Yeah, what a lot of mush. I don't blame Dr. Doom for jumping out.
But the Torch hasn't much time to worry about mush, for in the next episode, the Fantastic Four battle a foe who has all the powers they possess and more.
Be listening again on Monday when we all shall see the Super Skrull. The fantastic cast is...
Cynthia Adler.
Bob Maxwell.
Bill Murray.
Jim Pappas.
Jerry Terheiden.
Narrated by Smilin' Stan Lee.
So there you go. There is the Fantastic Four radio show in the clutches of Dr. Doom. I like this one quite a bit. I think it finally starts to establish Dr. Doom as a formidable foe, somebody that will return. He escaped yet again. We start to get into some of his mythos, you know, that he is ashamed of his appearance. That's why he wears the mask. And, you know, I think he just starts to be developed now. This is only the third time that the team has faced Dr. Doom for the radio show. But this is the fifth time in, 17 issues of the comic that he's been back. I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up how many times he or the Submariner have appeared in the comic. It's probably about the same, I would think. But yeah, I just really think there's some really good things in this episode. There's some silly things, of course. This is the Silver Age. But yeah, we see Dr. Doom as plotting against the Fantastic Four, thinking he's smarter than the Fantastic Four, jealous of the Fantastic Four. He talks about being jealous of Ben Grimm, who, even though he's been turned into a monster, has found love, has found acceptance, and he will never feel that. We don't see too much of the Reed Richards rivalry here, but that'll definitely be something that comes throughout the years. And yeah, I really like Dr. Doom as a character. I think he's very formidable, but he's also very likable as a villain. And he's got his own way of doing things. You know, we haven't seen him in Latveria yet. And a lot of that stuff is really cool. It's kind of neat to see him get his start. Not only the Fantastic Four, who I really enjoy. You know, I like all the characters. You know, yeah, at this point, Sue Storm hasn't been utilized very well. She hasn't developed her force field powers yet. I think that's coming up pretty quick. I don't think we'll see it, though, in the radio show. But maybe. Maybe I'm miscalculating that. But yeah, but actually, though, if you think about it, she did quite a bit in this episode to defeat Dr. Doom. She was a big key part of it. She used her brains and her powers to, more so maybe even than Mr. Fantastic in this. You know, to be honest, Mr. Fantastic hasn't really become the character that he will be either. You know, I think the ones that they've nailed the most in these early issues is the character of Ben Grimm. Yeah, he's more grumpy in these early issues and episodes, and he becomes much more of a lovable curmudgeon rather than being so down on everything. And then, yeah, the Human Torch is the irresponsible, showy kind of guy that revels in his powers, that's excited to be the Human Torch. That's established here already. And you'd think after so many years of comics that aspect of Johnny, you know, that he'd mature, and he has matured as a character, as a person, but he's still, there was a really great arc involving Dr. Doom and everything of Johnny continues to be irresponsible. And it's really kind of neat the way that plays out. He does pay a price for it. And I'm talking about like comics within the last couple years. But anyway, I love these characters. I like them as a family. I like that they, you know, the whole Marvel thing of these are more like real people. They squabble, they have problems, that kind of thing. And yeah, it started all here with the Fantastic Four. And, you know, Dr. Doom will become their biggest nemesis in the years to come. But he also develops as a character. There is a mutual respect there, even though it's not always expressed between all of the Fantastic Four, and more particularly Reed Richards and Dr. Doom. But yeah, this is good fun stuff. I do like this episode. You know, poor Alicia, you know, here again is being used. I guess at least it wasn't the Invisible Girl this time. Now, Dr. Doom picks on the blind girl to use as a hostage instead of Sue Storm, where Sue's able to shine a little bit here. She's definitely not interested in Dr. Doom like she is in the Submariner. But then Dr. Doom doesn't wear a Speedo either. So that may have something to do with it. Oh, I think it's interesting, you know, several times we see, you know, Ben Grimm transforming between being a man and back into the Thing. Not as much as like the Hulk was, but we do see that a lot more frequently in these early issues than we do throughout the years going forward. And in this particular issue, it's used to great effect in that it becomes part of the plot. They transform him back to being human Ben Grimm in order to penetrate Dr. Doom's ship and get past his defenses and let the other team come in. But Ben is able to do that in human form. And then we see him struggle to maintain human form until he finally does turn back into the Thing. But yeah, it's interesting. Of course, everybody, myself included, isn't that interested in a human Ben Grimm as much as he might benefit from that. I love him as the rock monster, as the cool ever-loving blue-eyed thing. I love his personality. I enjoy him as a character, and I always will. You know, I think he's one of my absolute favorite comic book characters. Yeah, I'd have to say Ben Grimm and Spider-Man are two of my favorite Marvel characters. And of course, I love the Man-Thing, but you know, Man-Thing's more of an obscure pick on the fringes of the Marvel universe. And I just like that character, like that image, and the way that he's been utilized over the years, or not every way that the Man-Thing has been used in the comics, but you know, the great classic Man-Thing. Yeah, I like him. But yeah, I'd have to say definitely that Ben Grimm as the Thing and Spider-Man are my two favorite. And probably those two are what brought me into comics in the first place. So then I discovered X-Men later on. Then I found all these other things that I like. But yeah, between Ben Grimm, including the Fantastic Four, and Spider-Man, those are the things that brought me into comics in the first place. Superhero comics. So, all right, well, that's enough for today. We only have a few of these left. So I hope you're enjoying them. And I'll be back tomorrow with another tale of the Fantastic Four. Until then, journey on, kids, and be safe. This installment of the Superhero Marathon has been produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, which means that you are encouraged to share this with anybody and everybody, but you can't change it, you can't sell it, and you need to let people know where it came from.